your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. Won't you stand, please, while we read the Word of God? Mark chapter number 14, begin reading at verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us. And Father, we thank you and praise you today for all your blessings. What a privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God. What a privilege to be in a spirit of worship. And Father, the singing of the songs and thinking about the blood that was shed. Thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of the blood and for a place where we got saved, when we got saved, and that we are saved. We humbly bow and say thank you and praise you and give you glory and thanks for all that you have done, are doing, and shall do. Lord, this morning we come together like this and thank you for the privilege to assemble and pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us now, and we'll thank you and praise you. We need a divine touch of God. I pray for all the requests of prayer that's been made and those that are in need, those who have special needs. And then, Lord, today in this house, these folk that need to get right with God, these individuals that need help, families need help. Lord, we need you to meet with us in a special way. And I pray for that divine anointing power of the Holy Ghost be upon us to preach. And then, Father, touch hearts to hear. And we'll thank you and praise you. I pray now and ask you, God, rebuke the devil, powers of evil. And, Lord, will you take charge of the service and the preaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And you may be seated. I want you to call your attention to this scripture that we're talking about here. And here's a woman comes in and she breaks this alabaster box. And in that day, there was a place in Egypt where this spikenard was, they made vases that it was put into and was shipped off and sold and was very expensive. In fact, they tell us that in this scripture that the price of this would have been what a year's wage would have been. And it was very expensive ointment that she brought in. And she came in. Also in John chapter 12, you'll find that this was Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. And she came in here, and she is not named in our scripture that I read to you. But she came in, she broke that, and she anointed Jesus on the head. And, of course, the ointment run down, and the smell of it filled the house, and it was very precious in that time. And there were those around that looked at it, and they said, why was this waste made? And it could have been sold and given to the poor. You'll also find in other scriptures that it says that it was Judas Iscariot that made the complaint, and he was a lover of money anyhow. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And so he had no concern about really of the poor. All he was concerned about was the money that it could have bought, but he or she had done a great work. I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse number 6. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She have wrought a good work on me." He said, "Don't bother her. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's exalting me. She's doing something for me." Look in verse number 8. "She hath done what she could." Now, that's another message, but I just got to plug it in right here. We all do what we can do, and we can't all do everything that needs to be done, but everybody can do what they can do. Amen. And she did what she could do, and she said she has come to forehand to anoint my body to the burying, and said she's done this. Now, she's by faith doing this. She by faith is believing that she's going to die for her sin, and I believe she by faith believing he's going to resurrect from the dead. And she's acting on faith and anointing him for that burying. Then verse number 9, verily I say, wherever this gospel preached, she's going to be, well, can you ever thought about that? Here's a woman did a work, and Jesus said, wherever this gospel preached, it shall be mentioned of her and the good work that she's done. I think I'm on this microphone all right. I can't hear myself. And so I'm trying to check that out. But anyway, here we are, and we're thinking about this scripture and how she came in. I'm just trying to get the setting for it because I'm moving in a direction today that I pray God will help us all, because she had the ointment. She had the spikenard. She had all that in her hand, and she was could do what she wanted to do with it, but she break it. She ain't breaking. Now, I was really working on a message, and I may pick that up tonight. I was working on a message about being broken. That's what I'm going to, I guess if I titled it, I just titled it Broke or Broken. And I'm talking about the spiritual realm now. And here, that could never have happened. The whole story would never have developed had she not broken that vessel that she had and poured the ointment out. It never would have been recorded. She wouldn't have been mentioned. And this event would not have taken place. And something had to break. And I'm thinking tonight on this subject of being broken and being spiritually broken. And there's something within us that can come out if we get broken. Hallelujah. I get excited running ahead of myself, but I want you to know today, thank God, there's something within that when we are broken comes out that the world needs. Amen. And here, Jesus, we can do a good work in that. And Jesus Christ here is saying she's done what she could, and she's done a good work. But I want you to turn with me in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter number 57, verse number 13. We'll start reading at that verse. I just want to give you these few verses here. I'm still in introduction to what I'm trying to get. In fact, it's a whole message introduction to the message, but I want you to get it. In chapter 57, verse number 13, "And when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land." Pause there and say, hallelujah. "He that trusts in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." That's another message also, getting the stumbling blocks out of the way of the people of God. And we're only a month away from revival meeting, thinking about it, and we need to cast up stumbling blocks. Amen. "For thus saith the high and lofty one." Now listen to this. Here, "thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." That inhabiteth eternity. And that's something that I can't grasp fully, but I try to. And what it's saying is the one that has always been, always will be, and he just is the great I am that I am, inhabits eternity. "Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also." Now pay close attention to this. "With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." He said, I dwell. He said, I inhabit eternity. I'm the high and holy, the one lifted up, and said, I dwell with him that is of a contrite and a humble spirit and heart. I say to you today, praise God. There's a thought in that if we could ever get a hold of it. And I praise God for the reality of it and ask God to help all of us. As we think about this, we are. I have the possibility of dwelling with him and fellowship and that wonderful thought of him that inhabiteth eternity, who he is, and that we have fellowship with him. And he said he'd dwell with us in a contrite and humble spirit. Now, I want to talk just a minute about, I won't get to what I'm going to say in a minute, but I'm trying to get there. Amen. And some of my introduction is better than the preaching anyhow, but anyway, we're going to get on into it in a minute. But I want you to see this, contrite. And that word, well, let's back up and get the word humble first, because it gets stronger as it goes. The word humble means to depress or sink or to make low. And when we think of being humble, we think of being not pushing yourself out, but being reserved and being in a low place of being, not being self-exalting. That's humility. But notice about contrite, and I'm giving you the definition that Strong gives. He says crush, crumble, beat to pieces. Crush, crumble, and beat to pieces. I'm thinking, my soul, that's what God's looking for in my life, is to be humble and contrite. He's saying, in other words, we need to be crushed. We need to be broken. We need to be, if I'm on, I can't tell it. Either the microphone's messed up one, I don't know which it is. Red lights are burning on my thing to put fresh batteries in so it ought to be working, but we'll find out here in a minute. So, we'll get it straightened out. That's just one of those things we have to deal with. It'll be all right. Amen. And it may be totally in this microphone I've got on. I don't know. But we'll find out in just a moment. But that be as it may, as we think about this humility and contrite, I pray that God would help all of us to think of it in a sense that we all need to think of it, that we need some help. And so I pray that God would help us. And I'll just use this microphone right up here and let this lay it aside and forget it. And now if I want to run, y'all just have to excuse me. Amen. I'm not much shape to run very far anyway. And so we'll just use this microphone and let it go at that. All right. Now, in thinking about this and looking at it and saying broke or broken, the picture I'm trying to get to you, I want us to look at it in the sense of how it's given here in the scripture, of how she came in and she was humble and she was contrite undoubtedly. And Mary, if you remember Mary, she's the one also that sat at the feet of Jesus and learned about him and listened to him while Martha was coming about with much serving. And Mary here comes in and she has that heart for God. She has that a heart that she wants to be doing something for the Lord Jesus. And so this has cost much, and she may have saved for a long time, and she may have worked hard and made provision for this, but then it's broken and given. But it had to break before it could ever do the work that it needed to be done. I'm concerned tonight that, or I keep saying tonight, and I guess I like preaching at night and revivals at night and all that kind of stuff, but daytime, nighttime, whatever time it is, I want you to know this being broken, and we need to be broken. We're talking and soon be moving into revival here at the church this coming week. I can't meeting up at Liberty Baptist Church, and don't forget that and pray for that. But I know that nothing will ever be what it ought to be unless we're broken and contrite, humble and contrite. And so there's a great need today that we break. I'm thinking about some here on Sunday night that broke. And we saw them break and saw what happened to them as they broke and came to the altar to pray for their loved ones, their friends, and especially one came for her husband. There's others in this house that are concerned about their husbands. There's people here concerned about their brothers or sisters or moms or dads, their sons, their daughters, and their neighbors and those around them and friends they have. And we need to be broken and need to be humble and contrite in spirit. I'm saying to you today, and we need to do that, be that, and so that we may be poured out, as it were, and given to the Lord Jesus Christ for his service and to glorify and magnify him. Now, having said all that and thinking about that being broken, I want to give you three things this morning. And it's really an introduction to tonight, but I want to give you three things of why that we need to be broken. I pray God will help us today as we think about these. Now, just in meditation and trying to think on this and think about what I'm trying to get said in this message about being broken, these three reasons why I see, and you could expand it further, I'm very sure, but I see three things that why we need to be broken today. Number one, decline of society. I mean, we're in a mess in our society, are we not? And that is bleeding over into the churches. And I thank God for Gateway Baptist Church, but I can tell you right now, we might be surprised what we'd find in people's lives in Gateway Baptist Church. I'm not talking about just Gateway, but we're going to Liberty and have a revival this week or camp meet in that church or any other church. It doesn't make any difference what church it is. The devil's trying to infiltrate and trying to mess up and trying to do everything that he can to bring in that's wrong and trying to get people that are living for God to mess up and get them all confused and messed up. Amen. And we're being bombarded today with things that people used to stand against that now have been accepted. And God help us, amen, in this day that we may see things as they really are. Let me give you just a few things about the decline of society and drugs. The drug culture is on the rise, and we say, well, we're not messed up in that. You might be surprised who is messed up in that. Amen. Some folk are arguing with you today. Smoking a little marijuana is okay and taking some kind of drug to get on a high. People think they have to have a high or have something to help them along the way. Now, I'm not talking about being on prescriptions that you have to have for physical reasons you have to have. I'm talking about illegal drugs and those kind of things that people get on. And even today, they're selling stuff that prepares people to get on hooked on drugs. They give you and I hear it advertised, sitting on the shelf, this 5-hour energy stuff and that kind of thing, and you need to come kind of a live. I believe God made us so that if we get, I like what Roger Boyer said one time. He made a statement. He said, I believe you ought to sleep when you're sleepy and eat when you're hungry. I kind of like that idea myself. And you can't always sleep when you get sleepy, but sometimes you have to make yourself just go on and do what you need to do and fight that. But what I'm trying to say to you is the world is being conditioned and our society being conditioned so that illegal drugs are people arguing about accepting that being all right. Anything that messes you up like that does, it's not all right. Amen. And if you're messed up on that, I pray God will help you that you'll realize the mess up that you're in and let God help you. You say, preacher, I can't get away from that. I can't get off of that. I know one that can help you get off of it. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. And he can help you. Amen. And let me just toss this in while I'm on that subject. Drinking is on, and people think, well, a little bit. And I got on this other day, and I'm on it again, and I may get on it again next Sunday. But I'm telling you today, drinking is not all right. Amen. And even restaurants, all be family restaurants that are set up so and encourage you to bring your children there, but yet they can see people drinking beer with their meals and conditioning them so they think it's all right that they drink beer. I'm saying it's not all right. Amen. And I want God to move in hearts and lives of people. You say, preacher, you think anybody around here in this congregation this morning drinks? I sure do. Do you know that? I don't know that for sure, but I sure think that. And I'd like to, this morning, if everybody's sitting in this house, if we had access to your refrigerator, it may be surprising what we'd find in it. You probably wouldn't want the preacher to look in it. I visited in homes where they kick it under the couch and it kept running back out. I got tickled. I believe every time they kicked it under the couch, the Holy Ghost said, roll out. I didn't even mention what was rolling under the couch, being in and out, but it got funny watching it go in and out, in and out. I thought, well, I'll just let God drive it home because I already know it's wrong and they're already messed up about it, so they're They're in such a shape. They're trying. God, the Holy Ghost, to do the work in their hearts, and I just left that up to Him. Amen. I just tried to talk about Jesus and God and church and that kind of thing. Amen. And God did the preaching that day, and it was all right, and just let Him do it. I see Him take the cans and try to turn them around so He couldn't read them, or set them down on a shelf where He couldn't see it, and what they were drinking when I come in. And if you're ashamed of the preacher coming in, I believe you'd be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. You already know it's wrong, or you wouldn't be hiding, trying to hide it from the preacher. Amen. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, called of God to preach. But Jesus sees everything, knows everything that you do. If you're ashamed for me to see it, I believe you ought to be ashamed to do it. Amen. That's good. Amen. I say to you today, bless your hearts, you ought to get right with God about that and quit trying to fool yourself and trying to talk yourself in. Hey, you can't serve two masters. It's an impossibility. You either serve God or the devil, one or the other. If you're going to serve God, let's serve God. And if you're not, Joshua said, sir, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve, whether God's Amorites dwell in the land or God's in, they're on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. And so just make yourself make a decision about that. And young folk, you need to, and you especially need to hear me today, because the devil will do everything again to try to get young folk hooked up on drugs and drinking and that kind of thing. He'll try to get you in the wrong time and catch you at a weak moment, and your peers will laugh at you if you stand up and say, I'm saved, and I'll not do that. But you let them laugh and let them say what they will, and you just go ahead and live for God and do what's right. Amen. And God will bless you and help you for that. I remember a story, and I don't believe Brother Ben Mayo would mind me telling this story, but it was about his life, and he was in the Air Force, and he was in a certain place where his company was, and they were there working, and he said on Friday afternoons, the one in charge, Sergeant, Colonel, whatever, was in charge of that group. He told all the men that they could leave and go across the road, and there's an open field, and they would take their beer and their ice, and they go over there and they play ball and drink. And Brother Ben had told him he couldn't do that because he didn't drink and didn't want to be around all that. And he said, well, you'll have to stay here and work. He said, okay. And so he stayed there and he worked. And said one day the general came in. And he looked at him and said, what are you doing in here working? And they're out there playing. He said, well, they're drinking beer and they're out there partying and doing things, and I have a conviction against that, and I don't do that, so they asked me to work, and so I'm just doing what I was told to do. General said, you go home, and every time they go over there, you just go home, and you tell them I said you could go home. Amen. I say hallelujah. Hey, I praise God. Hey, you stand for God, and God will stand for you. But if you just cow down, let the world tell you how you ought to act and what you ought to do, you'll be in a mess with God, and God won't stand for you. But I'm glad, praise God. Hey, young folk, I want you to know you can stand for God and do what's right. Amen. And let the rest of the crowd do what they will. And God will honor that. Amen. God will honor that. Hey, you don't have to take drugs. And you don't have, one of the best feelings you can have is being a good old time service like we had last Sunday night. Let God get all over the place and let God be manifested and get glory, and He'll certainly help you along the way. He'll encourage your heart. He'll give you some fire in your soul. He'll give you some strength you didn't have, and that'll help you. Amen. I praise God for that. Amen. I like that, getting high on the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And we act kind of funny sometimes around here. And we get kind of out of the banks, and we get kind of acting peculiar and all that. And well, on the day of Pentecost, they accused him of being drunk. He said, we're not drunk. We're just full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And praise God. And I've often used of being drunk and comparing that with being filled with the Spirit. And people are drunk, they'll do things you wouldn't do otherwise. Amen. That's how it is, being filled with the Spirit. You'll do things you wouldn't do otherwise. Amen. You're a witness, and you're liable to sing. You're liable to, you'll do a lot of things. Amen. And then you get liberal, and the drunkard, he'll drive and pay for everybody. And get and church service taken off, and you just want to give. Amen. Well, that's enough of that. But anyway, I'm telling you about this thing. I'm just on the, I got to hurry. Amen. But I'm telling you, society declining. Amen. and drugs and drinking and all that kind. And let me just throw this out with this. Dancing. Amen. Preacher, you're on a roll, ain't you? I kind of am, amen. I'm kind of upset about the world. I'm seeing our society go downhill. I remember a day when somebody went to a dance, that was considered as wrong could be. But today, it's accepted, amen. People look at it just like one of the things that you ought to do. Well, it's not one of the things you ought to do, amen. And you say, well, it's all right. John the Baptist lost his head because of some lascivious dancing that was done by Herodias' daughter. And she danced and pleased him. And he said, well, I'll give you half the kingdom. And he said, I want John the Baptist's head in a charger. And they went and beheaded him in prison because somebody got there and danced and showed themselves. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. You say, well, it's all right to dance. Hey, listen, one dance will lead to another dance. And you can't rub your body against a man or woman and think it don't affect you. Amen. And then someone's not rubbing together, but just shaking the wrong things. You're welcome, amen. And this stuff they call music, and they've got a name for it called rock and roll. And you'll be watching news or something, they'll advertise some kind of thing coming on, and they'll have a guitar in their hand, and they look like a bunch of idiots. That's done, I'll be locked up somewhere. And you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. I know the devil don't like it either, amen. But I'm telling you that God hates that, amen. And that brings on that kind of dancing that is ungodly and filthy, amen. And has suggestive actions to it as well as words of the music and all that kind of stuff, amen. And by the way, while I'm on that, I might as well hit dress a little bit. Amen. And you say, preacher, your church around there, y'all try to take a stand, don't you, about how you dress? We try to. And I'm not no spy or trying to find out how you dress. Somebody comes in dressed inappropriate, I'm not going to get upset, throw them out of church or act like that. I'm glad they're here and hearing preaching. Amen. I'm glad they're in the church and hear something, hear singing, preaching, that kind of thing. But we try to teach ladies dress like ladies, at least at church. Amen. And y'all dress like ladies anytime and have a at least modest dressed, amen, and dress modest, amen. But what I'm noticing today is the dresses get shorter at the top, come down further, and then they're getting shorter at the bottom too and coming up further. Amen. And then you say, well, preacher, what's wrong for a low-cut dress? Well, it shows too much. Well, if you like to show it, then there's something wrong with you. You want to appeal to the opposite sex, what you're trying to do. Amen. Y'all look kind of pale, some of you. Amen. Don't y'all pass out. Amen. I'm not through yet. Amen. I'm telling, we all be concerned how the world perceives us. Amen. How we look when we go out in society. You say, well, nobody's been. It is, too. Amen. If you're saved, y'all dress like you're saved. Look like you're saved. Act like you're saved. Well, I thought I'd toss that in that, amen. And this sex sin, it's everywhere, amen. All I've been talking about leads up to that. And thank God you can live godly, amen. And young lady, young man, you remember God's got your body for a certain one, and you wait till God gives you that one, amen. Amen. You don't have to. And I know today they act like, and the peers out there, they'll tell you, well, you're something wrong with you, and you ain't experienced that. You're not in a crowd, you know. Set aside from the crowd and set an example for the crowd and tell them you don't do that kind of thing. You want to live for God and be what God wants you to be. Amen. And I say amen and amen. Our society out here has gone crazy. And it's gone wild in sin, and sin's rampant on every hand. You know why we need to get broken? We need to get broken because our children are out there in society, and you can't help but see some of that, and you can't help but get them and be tempted by some of that. I don't care the best you do in your family and home and church, there'll be some of that temptation somewhere out there that's going to come into them, or it's standing on TV or radio, whatever. And we need God to help us to be broken over our society. Because a lot of those folk out there is in that mess and acting that way. And they just not saved. and they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior to help them. I have compassion on them. I want to see them get saved. I'm telling you today, if we ever going to get broken, we all get broken today. You know what's happened? Little by little by little, we're getting used to sin, and it doesn't bother us like it used to bother us. It doesn't tire us up like it used to tire us up, because we got too used to it. I pray God will break us where we'll not be used to it, but have a broken heart over it. Amen. May God help us in these days. Amen. God help us. Then let me talk about spiritual deadness for a few minutes. I've been talking about, and I'm going to hurry because I know time's getting away, but that be as it may, I'm concerned. We're living perilous times and dangerous times, and we need to get broken over them. Amen. But spiritual deadness, the coldness, boy, I'm glad. You say, preacher, boy, around here we're not dead. I'm glad we're not dead. But some folk in their own hearts, they're dead. They've grown cold on God, got cold. Some of you come in this morning just as cold as you can be on God. Amen. And God's not real in your hearts. God's not stirring your life. God's not come in to worship God. You come in cold. But I pray, ain't something burning inside right now. I pray God doing something for you that's going to help you. If you're not saved, I pray the Holy Ghost got you under such conviction. You'll say, I'd really like to have some of that real stuff. I'd really like to know some of that reality that he's talking about. What they showed last Sunday night and what little I've seen here this morning. I said, little, ain't been quite a bit of it. Amen. I say, hallelujah. Singing about the blood. If that doesn't stir your heart, hallelujah. You need to get to the altar and get right with God. Amen. And this thing, but the Matthew 24:12 said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And iniquity's abounding and love of many's waxing cold. And if we're not careful, I'm talking to me now as much as you, if we're not careful, we'll grow cold on God. And we'll not have the warmth we need and that stir we need inside. And we'll be get carnal minded. Amen. Well, preacher, how you know people are carnal minded? Because they'll lay out of church and go to something that's carnal. That's how. Amen. And get carnal minded and get more concerned about carnal things than they are about God's things. I say to you, we're in bad shape when we get that way. Amen. May God help us in these days. That can take out a long ways. But 1 Corinthians 3 talked about being carnal minded and spiritual minded, but it talked about that carnal mindedness and talked about disputings and murmurings and groanings and said that's carnal mindedness. And some say, I'm of this and I'm of that one. And some say, well, I like this preacher. I like that preacher. I like that singer. I like that singer. I tell you, I love Jesus. Amen. I love good singing. I love, and people all live for God that do sing. I realize some have a touch of God. I understand that. Preachers, I realize God uses some more in some areas than he does others. I understand that. But I'm just glad that God lets all of us serve him in some capacity. We have God on it and God's presence, God's power. We can have something from God. Amen. Spiritual deadness, coldness in our hearts. We ought to come in so fired up for God. You remember when you first got saved? It didn't make any difference whether they sung Amazing Grace or Jesus Saves or whatever they sung. You got stirred up. It stirred your heart. You got warm. You know why? Because you was already heated up before you got in church. You was already hungering for it when you got there. Amen. Boy, I like to see people hungry for it. I watch some of you. I look at one right now. I look back there and I see him. He gets so hungry and stirred up. When you talk about getting delivered and saved and born again and right with God, and many of you do, you show it, you express it. But aren't you glad it's real? Let me give you a third thing and I close. Sinners are dying. Sinners are dying. Now, I don't know what the statistic is today, but years ago I read where there's 100 a minute dying going to hell. Estimated at that. I'm sure it's many more than that today. But sinners are going to hell. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we need to get the concern. We need to get that compassion. If we're not concerned about them, we don't have compassion on them, won't be concerned about them. And then we need not only a compassion and a concern, but we need to put ourselves broken into it that we might go after them and see them saved. We need a commitment in these days that we'll be committed to doing what Jesus told us to do. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's an introduction. I'll try to bring you a message tonight. God will help me. I pray God will use this today. You say, preacher, you mentioned a lot of things. I did, but I didn't even scratch the surface. There's so much more could be said. But I'm concerned that we get concerned about our society, that we get concerned about the situation in our own hearts, our own lives, our own churches, that we get concerned that God do a work in our hearts, that sinners get reached. Sinners are dying. Sinners are dying. May God help us to care. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for thy word, thy truth. And I pray the Holy Spirit would do a work. And Father, that you'd help us to respond to it. Today in this house, there may be somebody sitting here just as cold, been saved, but they've let their life drift and got cold on God. They know they need God to help them. Then some here that they've never been saved. They need God to help them. They need to get saved. I pray they'll come. Then, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that we that are saved will be broken. And God, help us to see all this and realize that the truth of it, not just that's been said, but the truth of it. Sink it deep in our hearts. Stir our lives. Help us respond to it. And help us to do what we need to do. And I praise you and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.